Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, he did say he would do things differently this time, and Donald Trump has announced a slew of hawkish appointments for his cabinet and his senior team ahead of his next term. The president-elect has created a new Department of Government Efficiency, which will be headed up by none other than Elon Musk, one of the richest men in the world. Now, there are some other familiar faces and some who will be relatively unknown on this side of the Atlantic. So let's find out more about them all. I'm joined on the line from Washington, D.C., by Simon Marks, who's chief correspondent of Feature Story News. Hello, Simon.
Hello, Claire.
Thank you very much for being with us. Now, you're going to run through everything we know, but perhaps you will start by telling us about this job that has been assigned to Elon Musk. What will he be doing?
Well, it's pretty unclear, I have to say. And while this is being described as the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE for short, and followers of Elon Musk's career will know that the Tesla chief has previously championed a cryptocurrency by the name of Dogecoin, this is not, as yet, Donald Trump creating a new cabinet position or even creating a new department. He says that Elon Musk and another prominent businessman who has supported Donald Trump through the election campaign, Vivek Ramaswamy, who previously actually was one of the Republican presidential aspirants in this year's presidential campaign, they are jointly going to be heading up this Department of Government Efficiency, aiming to cut government waste wherever possible. The president-elect is setting them a target of July the 4th, 2026, to reduce the size of government and deliver on generations of Republican Party pledges to create smaller government in the United States that largely have gone unfulfilled. Why July the 4th, 2026? Because it's America's 250th birthday, and he thinks, Donald Trump, that it would be a tremendous birthday present to the country successfully to have reduced the size of government. But again, it is very opaque as to precisely what kind of resources Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy will have in this task, because you can't just concoct a new government ministry here. That can only be created by an act of Congress. And were these to be cabinet positions, Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy would have to divest themselves of their business interests. Mm-hmm. And I suspect neither man particularly wants to do that.
Well,
so
yeah, you
a lot of sizzle, but the stakes unclear.
All right. Well, let's see whether that will be a welcome birthday gift, as you say, to the Americans or not. Now, I mentioned that there are other familiar faces, some people who will be relatively unknown over here on this side of the Atlantic. So who else is getting a top job?
Well, I mean, of the appointees that have been made so far, I suppose the most zealous appointment from Donald Trump's inner circle is the man that he's putting in charge of the mass deportations of illegal migrants in the United States, Thomas Homan, the former head of the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Division of the government during the first Trump term. He has absolutely insisted that he is going to flood the country with law enforcement agents, if necessary, in order to deport potentially 20 million illegal immigrants in the United States. We've seen hardliners as far as foreign policy is concerned. Elise Stefanik has been nominated to become the next U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. She is a staunch defender, not only of Israel, but of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. National Security Advisor and military veteran Michael Waltz is the man that Donald Trump wants to end the war in Ukraine. He may well be joined by Senator Marco Rubio of Florida, who we think is going to be named the next Secretary of State. But the appointment that has really caused, I think, tremendous surprise here is a Fox News host, Pete Hegseth, the anchor of Fox and Friends on the weekends here, who has suddenly been plucked from that job to become America's next defense secretary. He was a junior officer in the military, a combat veteran, veteran. He's only 44. He has absolutely no national security experience. But Donald Trump got to know him through his many interviews for Fox News. And Pete Hegseth is the man that he wants to send to head up the US armed forces at the Pentagon.
It's extraordinary. And when do these appointments become official? Because some of them will have to be approved by the Senate, won't they?
Yeah, that's correct. Any cabinet pick, any foreign ambassador, so all of the cabinet picks and foreign ambassadors have to be Senate approved. The National Security Advisor does not have to be Senate approved. But all of that can only begin in January once the new Senate is convened, although Donald Trump is pressing for recess appointments to be allowed, which are temporary appointments while the Senate is on its Christmas break. That would then allow some of these figures to get to work earlier. But, you know, the confirmation hearings for some of them, especially Mr. Hegseth, the nominee for the position of defense secretary, I think are going to be very complicated.
And Simon, let's talk about what's happening today then, because we'll have this meeting between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. We're expecting that there will be cameras there. We'll be able to see the interaction between the two men. Will that be a standard set piece, or do we have an agenda? Do we know what's going to happen?
We don't know very much about it. I mean, I suspect there will be cameras at the start, but they won't be in there for very long. I mean, remember that this will be Donald Trump's triumphant return to the White House for the first time since he left Washington the night before Joe Biden's inauguration. He didn't stick around for that. He also didn't offer Joe Biden an opportunity to come into the White House for a cup of coffee. Remember, at the time, the Trump and Biden teams weren't talking to each other. Donald Trump was insisting that he would not assist Joe Biden in the presidential transition in any way 4 years ago because he falsely claimed that the presidential election had been rigged. So I think we'll see a camera spray at the start of this meeting. What the two men are then going to talk about, I think, is unclear. I suspect that President Biden will want to talk to Donald Trump about Ukraine and the president's determination that Ukraine should not be abandoned when Donald Trump takes over in the Oval Office. But it's all going to be, from a media perspective, about the colour of this meeting. I mean, what kind of a reception does Donald Trump get from staff who may gather to watch him arrive at the White House? He certainly doesn't need a tour of the building from the current president. He knows his way around the corridors of the White House from the 4 years that he spent there. But remember that Joe Biden is a man who has described Donald Trump as having the morals of an alley cat. And Donald Trump has relentlessly called Joe Biden the head of an organised crime family. So precisely what they're going to be discussing over a cup of coffee and presumably some White House biscuits, we do not know.
Going to be a fly on the wall for that one. Simon, thank you so much. Simon Marks, their chief correspondent with Feature Story News. And I'm also joined by Tom Bateman, who's BBC State Department correspondent in Washington, D.C. And Tom, it's great to have you with us too. Donald Trump is expected to pick Senator Marco Rubio as his Secretary of State. And he will be, if that happens, the United States' top diplomat. That is a remarkable turnaround since the Republican Party presidential primaries in 2016, if we cast our minds back, where the pair of them, Marco Rubio and Donald Trump, infamously traded insults at that point. How did we get to this point where he is, it looks to be, on the verge of being appointed Secretary of State? And what's been the reaction to this news?
Yeah, it was 8 years ago that the pair were both vying for the Republican presidential nomination, and Donald Trump famously or infamously would refer to Marco Rubio as Little Marco and other such insults and name-calling that we're used to hearing from him. They've had a rapprochement ever since then, even to the point where Mr. Trump was considering Marco Rubio as one of just a few potential running mates to run on his ticket for the campaign this year, in the end picking J.D. Vance. But Marco Rubio had very much returned to the Trump inner circle since those years ago. And now it appears is, according to all of the reporting that we have available, being considered as the top name for Secretary of State. Although I would add that it still hasn't been announced, and it's been some 36 hours or so since Marco Rubio's name was being touted as Donald Trump's top pick for the job. And some reporting that there may be some pushback from insiders in Donald Trump's inner circle on that. So I think we have to wait to see, because of course, you know, this is Donald Trump, and characteristically, he might change his mind at the last minute. Mm-hmm. If it is Marco Rubio, though, I think that's a very significant pick for Secretary of State, the chief diplomat, the globe-trotting figure in the American administration that really sets the agenda of foreign policy and carries out what the president wants on that front.
Well, you're right, I think, to issue that note of caution, because we haven't had confirmation, and we do know, you know, what lots of other people might be doing in his administration. So there might be something in that. Let's hold fire on going ahead and believing that that is the case, that he will be Secretary of State. It's such an important role, though. I mean, if we look at Anthony Blinken, the current Secretary of State, he has expended so much political capital in the Middle East in recent months, and we just don't know what's going to happen next, either with that situation or with that role. It depends very much on the person who takes over.
It does. And I think if it is Rubio, though, we'll have a very clear sense of the direction that things are heading. And we know a lot of this from what Donald Trump has already said on the campaign trail, which is effectively that he says he wants to bring an end to the war in Ukraine and to the wars in the Middle East, but notably is not saying how he would do that, which is leading to his critics and opponents to say that these plans just simply aren't fleshed out and they're overly simplistic. But Marco Rubio actually comes from the more sort of neoconservative, very hawkish wing of the party, although he's tended to shift his views in recent years to align more clearly with those of Donald Trump, which I would describe as this sort of hawkish isolationism, if that isn't too much of a contradiction in terms, which basically says that America is overextended in the world. They want to stop ploughing money into military assistance, particularly to Ukraine. Marco Rubio was one of the senators, the Republican senators, that voted against the billions of dollars that America has been giving to the Ukrainians in the form of weapons and military assistance. And what they want to do there, basically, is they think the Ukrainians need to do a deal with the Russians that would probably involve them conceding a considerable amount of territory, Russian-occupied territory, parts of their country, to the Russians, and also some sorts of guarantees around neutrality and not joining NATO in mm-hmm. the immediate future. Of course, for the Ukrainians, they see that as amounting to surrender.
Right. Now let's talk about some of the other very controversial appointments. And we heard Simon there saying that there are many raised eyebrows about the pick for Defence Secretary Peter Hegseth, who's a TV anchor from Fox News. And people have, I would say rightly, questioned his qualifications for the role.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely no experience to do the job, apart from having been, you know, as you heard there, a veteran, but at a relatively junior level and still quite young. I mean, I think the Senate confirmation issue will be acute there, because even with the Republican majority Senate, people like him may struggle to get through the very, very rigorous questioning that they will get from, you know, very senior senators. Having said that, this is somebody that Donald Trump absolutely, you know, wants for the role. I think a lot of the controversy, particularly internally in the system, you know, if you look at the sort of career officials and Pentagon officials who will be quite concerned about some of his views, have been that he has been somebody that, both on television and has written a book about this, has pitched the case for soldiers who have been faced with allegations of improper conduct, of being involved in war crimes. And he's tended to launch campaigns in favor of those people. He's likened soldiers to Bruce Willis's John McClane in Die Hard, saying that, you know, these people that have to sort of go outside the system, sometimes they're fighting for people's safety and security. So some quite unorthodox views, but ones that have been very much embraced by Donald Trump. And clearly, you know, he's the person he wants for the role.
Mm, he also wants this South Dakota governor, Kristi Noem, to be Homeland Security Secretary. Another eyebrow-raising choice. And is that a further sign of Donald Trump's determination, Tom, to launch a no-holds-barred crackdown on immigration?
Well, it absolutely is. She is somebody that's taken, you know, very hard-line positions on immigration in the past. has particularly attacked things like Democratic-led so-called sanctuary cities, where undocumented migrants are able to, you know, get access to services and to support. And along with some of the other picks, such as Stephen Miller and Tom Homan, who you heard about there, I think is signalling how serious Donald Trump wants to be seen as in his promise to crack down on immigration pledges. And like a lot of the other picks, I think what we're seeing defining many of these appointees from Donald Trump is the fundamental characteristic is loyalty. So here you have another person who Donald Trump will see as, you know, profoundly loyal to him. And in some cases, that loyalty, you know, goes above any sort of experience on policy substance. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're seeing that in a lot of his decisions. I think some of that harks back to his first term, where his presidency underwent, you know, very significant turbulence in the first year or so, because, and especially on foreign policy, frankly, he was doing things that some of the people he appointed to senior positions just thought were a terrible idea, you know, such as the negotiations with Kim Jong-un about nuclear disarmament in North Korea, pulling troops out of Syria. That caused him lots of problems, for example, with people like John Bolton, who is his national security advisor,
yes,
who has since talked about, you know, what went wrong in that first. So I think you're seeing now a real attempt by Donald Trump to try and ensure that kind of thing doesn't happen this time.
Yep, he certainly seems to be putting people in place, all of whom will agree with him and won't slow his pace down at all once he gets in there. Tom, thanks so much. Tom Bateman, BBC State Department correspondent in Washington, D.C. Now, the temperature's dropping and we can all feel it today. We're going to be talking about how to get your garden winter ready after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.